Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard Doherty, and I'm the founder and CEO of ScaleUp Consulting and the author of Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. And I believe that having distributed teams gives you the fuel to scale. And here to talk with me about that is Alexandra. Alexandra is the Chief Strategy Officer at Turbotic. He's also previous management positions in the likes of Ericsson and also EY. So, you know, super excited, Alexandra, to have you on the phone today or have you on the call today. And yeah, super excited to dig into this today.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. Looking forward.
Cool. And as always, folks, before we dive into it, I always like to give you a bird's eye view of the topic. And as we know, definitely over the last couple of years, but you know, over the last number of years, there's been massive strides in technology and the advancements of technology. And this has pushed distributed teams to actually become a fabric of growth teams and corporate teams. This is partly due to the high-speed internet and I guess the improving array of online collaboration tools. We've all used these over the last few years, i.e. Zoom, Teams, etc. And many companies now are having teams that are either partially or fully distributed across multiple locations, multiple time zones. And things, this gives them an added benefit. Tech teams like the ones such as Buffer, Stack Exchange, and Trello, to name a few, have honestly taking the lead in this. And it's, you know, not difficult to imagine others really taking the mantle and having distributed teams as their core focus, such as the likes of Mozilla have done over the last few years. So, you know, let's jump into the conversation and bring Alexandra into this. And let's kick it off at the top, Alexandra. I mean, I know you guys are doing some really cool stuff at Turbotic, but why do you think that right now, it's important for startups, scale-ups to look at building distributed teams from the outset?
A great question. And I've been living with this reality also for many years when I was with Ericsson. Actually, in my last positions, I had direct reports all the way from China, India, different countries in Europe, of course, many in Sweden and the US. So there was always this challenge, US West Coast even, right? So always this challenge to even find, you know, time slots where you could get to meet everybody. But that is also the power of these distributed teams, that you can basically work around the clock and you can reach customers or prospects or whatever you're targeting, stakeholders in all different geographies with one common strategy, so to say. So I really enjoyed the aspect of having global distributed multinational teams. And I think as a Swedish company, it's very natural to have that approach as well to building a business.
I feel that there's a lot of talk in the market about, ongoing talk in the market about talent and the need for additional talent in various areas. But if you're able to open the funnel and look across the globe instead of just in Stockholm, as an example, or London or New York or, you know, LA, you're able to look across all of these geographies and go, okay, where's the talent I need, rather than specifically look in the location that you set up. That then, you know, starts breaking down some barriers, right? And you're able to really, I guess, get the best talent and maybe get the talent that allows you to move to the next level, right?
Yeah, you're totally you're totally correct. It's not a given that the best talent and even the market is where you happen to be born. So if you are from a country of 10 million people with a limited internal market, and especially if we're not like us, not even trying to sell, you know, B2B or B2B2C, we're hardcore enterprise B2B. So we're targeting for the Fortune 2000s, the largest companies in the world. And then unfortunately only, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 of those are Swedish, and maybe 40 are Nordics, which you could consider home market in our aspect. So we're basically forced to go out globally from the start and have this global mindset. And then, of course, you don't only need to think about what customers do we have, what's the market and how do we reach those, but how can we use this to source talent for all aspects of building a company?
You mentioned the global mindset. I mean, and also you mentioned enterprise, i.e. the target, your ideal customer. How did you guys come to realize that? I mean, obviously you had a solution. I know some of the background because we've chatted through it, but what does it take to have a global mindset? And then off the back of that, actually go out and execute to a specific plan so that at the end of the day, the enterprises that you're mentioning actually receive the services or the product that you're offering.
Yeah, good question. So, and if you spend many years at these multinational companies, at least I had the privilege of having like big teams in various parts of the world, and especially in India. And what we realized, and having been in this industry of intelligent automation, AI, enterprise AI for many years, we see that it's a big industry, right? It's a high growth industry, and every company, every large organization globally are investing in this and are investing more and more. And this is one of the top priority spend areas for CIOs globally, together with cloud and cyber security. So it's obviously a market where a lot of the players are. And if you look at how the large companies in the world, the Fortune 500, 2000s, etc., have set up their operations, they have this round the clock here. Operations, right? And they have, they are leveraging hubs locally, regionally, and some globally. So if you look at Bangalore, for instance, which was where we established our first international expansion, I think there's probably no place in the world, maybe except for London and New York, but I actually think there's no place in the world where you can find so many global Fortune 500 brands in such a
small,
you know, limited geographical area. So it's quite cool to see. And I've been in this for many years now. So I've seen this like growing, and I've also seen how these, though used to be back office and IT hubs, are getting more and more integrated as strategic transformation hubs for these companies, with the digitalization and the more and more important role IT and technology is playing in transforming any enterprise, with also, you know, management and decision power is moving to some extent from Europe and US to these hubs, and in the India specifically. This space, you know, enterprise automation, AI, it's like back office merging with IT and transformation. Really, it's really cooking in the world and in India specifically.
Yeah, I remember, you know, back in the day when I was at Accenture, we did some work out in Bangalore. A lot of the, I guess, the outsourcing and the offshoring, i.e. dev work, used to go out and live in Bangalore. But also more recently, I guess, when I say more recent, it's like 10 years ago or 11 years ago, we then went out and started developing what they call delivery centers in certain locations in Eastern Europe, and actually created hubs out there. You nailed the word there. I think one was Bratislava. There might have been also Poland as well. And it was very interesting. I mean, this is, you know, going back quite a while ago. And all of a sudden, us being the first to land there, in all honesty, very quickly, we found that the likes of Capco, the likes of your old shop, EY, were following suit, which was, you know, all well and good. The one thing I realized there that was vital to this type of organization setting up was that there needed to be a person there or a management layer there that was fully in sync with a management layer, in this instance was a client office, right, with a client. And if that wasn't the case, then a lot of things got lost in the middle, right? And there's a lot of frustration. But if that's set up, then all of a sudden your distributed team actually works well because you've got that management layer in, let's say, Bratislava. They can communicate succinctly. Then there's also a management layer, let's say, in London. There's a really good communication layer and things sort of start moving. Outside of that communication layer that I just spoke about, what else do you think are the key components to building a team across sort of multiple locations?
Yeah, and I agree with you. It's about utterly important that that you're strategically aligned, right? Constant communication. But we also see this, if you take the India expansion as one example, which was our first international expansion, and now we target the whole APAC market, and if you include the Middle East from India, right? Because we see that in this market, even if you look at Middle East, usually the tech buyers, they are Indian. And they know each other, right? From the Bangalore tech hub or Pune or Mumbai. So it's a small world, so you can actually get a huge reach from such a place. But what's also important, if you take our own product development, which to quite large extent then execute from India, but led from Sweden. So there, it's not about having one team here and another team there. We are all one team, and everybody works towards the same goal. And we have these daily stand-ups every day where we look at the sprints and the stuff that we are building. So everybody is totally in sync, which in this case is led from Sweden by our CTO, even if the people happen to sit in India and maybe report to the Indian CEO. And then we have the business side that we can drive a little bit more, of course, connected to the rest of the business. But when you drive this B2B enterprise sales, it's a lot about relations. You need to have, when you're early stage, you need to have these relations. Just cold calling can lead you somewhere, but having the relations, it just simplifies so much, especially when we are playing, like we are playing also a channel partners game with both direct sales and indirect channel sales. It's a lot about network and knowing right people at the right partners, and that these big corporations are then the ultimate the buyers of the solution.
Because there's an interesting point you mentioned. A lot of times we talk about distributed teams. We think very much internally about our own teams and how we can set them up. But it also, in this instance, you raise a good point. Your clients are distributed. They're everywhere. They're different locations. They're in APAC. They're in Europe. They're in the US. I know you guys are in the US as well. And networking is obviously critical. As you go up the ladder in the corporate world, it's in a way who you know, right? How can you speak to the CEO of, for example, JP Morgan? Generally, it's a friend of a friend of a friend. So how have you guys gone about building up the relationships and making certain that, you know, the likes of the corporates that you're targeting are aware of you and aware of the solution that you bring to them?
Yeah, that's tricky when you operate with a limited budget and a limited number of people. So you need to do maximum noise or effective noise with as little input as possible. But if you take, if you take India as an example, again, sometimes you can reach the buyer directly in India. Usually then from that, the headquarter gets involved or might get involved, or the decision is taken totally in India, right? Then you might have other. We have one example now. We're working towards a large organization, US-based. In that case, we're trying to engage that organization both from the US and from India separately, because they have a lot of operations. They have some decision makers in India. They have other senior decision makers in the US that probably have to be engaged. Then the power of distributed teams comes even more. And then if you happen to have sit on this relationship both in the US and in India, then in this case, the likelihood of getting a meeting and succeeding is much higher.
I'm going to chuck something out here. On the FinTech, we here on the FinTech Scaling Show, I'm lucky enough to speak to many different executives and leaders throughout the FinTech and finance ecosystem. Through this, I also have created a community of, I think it's now 112 odd leaders that sit throughout the ecosystem doing some really innovative stuff, and they are globally distributed, right? And on a monthly basis, we gather, 9 of us, and we chat about certain things with regards to scaling and growth. And everyone, you know, mucks in and helps each other, whether it's a contact, whether it's an idea, whether it's a solution, just to get over whatever obstacles in front of them or whatever obstacles presented at the table, right? And I'm just sort of wondering whether, I know it's enterprise, but at large, a community type feel where you can get all these gurus into one room, maybe monthly, weekly, yearly, whatever it is, and really drive relationships, because that's what it's about, right? Being able to drive relationships whereby everyone sees the value in what everyone else is doing, but also what you bring into the table. So yeah, I guess my question here is, you know, have you thought about or are you thinking about a community that sits alongside your growth aspirations that you continue to add value to?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we thought about that. We haven't created any community of our own, but maybe we will do that. And we see different, it's both decision makers, but it's actually users too. There are some companies in this industry have been really good at engaging on the bottom up, basically building a brand and building a lot of push by building bottom up communities and swarming the enterprises with ambassadors bottom up. And then if you are a central decision maker, after a while you can't resist that. Then you end up with a enterprise deal anyway. So maybe our specific product is not targeted for that directly. It's more of a management orchestration product. It's more of a kind of a central sale. But yeah, for sure, if we can gather the right people in such communities, and I know in this industry some of these communities already exist, it's also about tapping into these, and they might be led by influencers, for instance. So it's about knowing a bit about who are the influencers in this industry and engaging with them as well in different ways.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
Just coming back to the topic, because this is, we're talking about distributed teams here, but if we look at it in a big picture, businesses, their teams, their public, etc., they are distributed, and there's multiple dimensions to this. There's, as we said, there's the internal team, how to get them working and operating, but there's also your public. How do you get them working and operating so they can join your mission accordingly? There's communities, there's different types of forums. It leads me to think that maybe a part of this is also being able to drive some sort of efficiency through automation in some way, shape, or form, through connecting the dots between multiple different publics or multiple or different types of teams with inside your ecosystem. I don't know if you've had any thought of that, or if there's any thinking, maybe even in your tool, in Turbotic, if that plays a role in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we have all the opportunities in the world, we're on mid long term to be this hub for, in our case, the intelligent automation, which we're already working on some of that. We integrate with a lot of players in the market, and then as next step, to be able to publish reusable assets, be it different automated processes or codes, etc. They're accessible from within Turbotic, and those are probably not created by us, but created by various partners or third-party providers. And then as a next step, to become a marketplace where you could buy any kind of tool you want or product or license to drive automation in an enterprise directly from Turbotic. So these are all things that we are having in mind for mid-long-term future.
I guess as part of all of this, it's also making certain that as you grow and you scale, your public in general, also you sort of remain true to your core values and your culture, right? Even though you are you're servicing multiple different corporates, you're in multiple different locations, you have team members from different backgrounds, different languages, etc. How are you guys plotting the path to make certain that your public or your culture with inside your public sort of remains true to what you want it to be?
Yeah, exactly. So far, we are not that big yet. We have 20, 25, maybe max 30 employees and so on. So far, it hasn't really been a challenge. But it's, for us, it's important that the culture that we have established here, which I would say is a, you know, somewhat Swedish-Scandinavian culture and Swedish management philosophies are respected throughout the company, which is, you know, quite not very hierarchical. Quite, you know, open debate, open climate. Everybody has a voice. Hopefully, we can decide in alignment. If not, obviously, you know, someone has to have a decision. But we can debate and align on pros and cons, and then you know, take a decision, and then everybody can align on that decision and implement that. And also, when it comes to management philosophies, like giving trust in people and allowing people to grow, and I think never or very seldom just telling people what to do. I mean, I at least hate someone telling me what to do, and I don't want to tell any of my direct reports what to do either.
Yeah.
But more, you know, what discuss what we want to achieve, and together come up with how can we do that in the best possible way, and have a lot of support. So those kind of philosophies are, of course, important for us. And that when we recruit, that we have people that also believe in those philosophies and are happy to try to live according to these values. But to do that, I think it's important, even if we work distributors, if you take India, we were born COVID. So we recruited in India, and we never met other than on Zoom or Teams. And then we recruited a team of 15 in India, but we didn't have a location, right? We didn't have an office, so everybody were working from home. So with that, we could recruit from the whole country. And that of course, meant that we got access to an even wider pool of talent and competences, with the backdrop that they are not in the same place. So our collaboration online will have to be even smoother. And then, but what we saw is that they had good working relations with each other, but they didn't fully know each other. So now when COVID was easing a little bit, I went down to India and we gathered everybody. So they flew in from 10, 15 different places, from the, you know, northeast to the southwest, and we all gathered together in one place. And I think we all arrived there as colleagues, but we left as friends.
Nice.
So those kind of things are also very important, that you, if you work in a distributed fashion, you also invest in spending time together and not talk about work, but to do other things that are more team building kind of activities. So maybe companies will have to invest even more in these activities going forward, when all of that doesn't come natural, when you gather in an office, you go out and have a beer and have an after work and do these kind of things. You kind of need to plan it in another way.
Yeah, brilliant. So you totally agree with you. And, you know, as we wrap up this section of the podcast and we get into the flash round, what are two or three things that you think, you know, startup founders, scale-ups need to know about distributed teams that will help them execute effectively and grow quickly?
No, I think it's a lot about recruitment. It's even more important because you will not know what people are doing generally. You have to trust everybody to know what they should do and support them to do that. So communication is of such an utterly importance. And I believe in a very transparent communication, that everybody knows what the strategy is and where we're heading, and try to ensure that everybody knows how they can contribute to that, and not only think of, you know, this is my road, so I do this, but think of, this is the problem, right?
Yeah.
This is the bigger problem. And sometimes I have to step outside of my role to solve things. So how do you enable that to happen? And that you need to work even more when you have these distributed Zoom-enabled teams.
Yeah, very, very, very important. And, you know, now we go into the flash round, a bit of fun, drum rolls. So what is the flash round, for those of you who don't know? A bit of fun at the end, a bit of getting to know the guests and also getting to know me. There's three questions, fun questions and simple answers, yes or no answers. I ask Alex three, and then I give him the mic and he's allowed to ask me one. Those are the rules. I didn't make them up, but those are the rules. So here we go. Alex, here's the first one. Global first or local first?
A global first.
yeah. Sales first or relationships first?
Relationships first.
Yeah, there we go. And I know these are too easy. I should have made them harder because I know what the I think I know what your answer is going to be for the third one. Automation or manual?
There are some people who say that before you automate, you need to standardize and so on.
Yeah.
That is a common answer to that question. My view is that why, you know, first you automate, then you standardize, because it's much easier to standardize when it's automated. And then you get reap the benefits earlier on. Because if you think, oh, I'm going to make all of this perfect, then I'm going to automate, you will never make it perfect. Not in big organizations. It's just too complex.
Yeah, brilliant. Really good answer. Excellent answer. Okay, now I give you the mic and you can ask me a question.
Yeah, no, I'd like to know, since you're having a lot of these interviews, what's the number one advice? Can be any advice on anything you would give, like to give to founders on how to build a successful business?
So the one thing here is understand your brand. With inside your brand, there's three bits of that, right? Make certain you are an empathetic leader. You build relationships that can last for a long, long time. And you are able to communicate to your public succinctly, right? And your public being your investors, your employees, your potential employees, your prospects, your clients. If you're able to do those three things at a high level all the time, your brand is going to be received well by your public, right? And then actually what's going to happen is you'll build up a community, you'll be able to scale, and you'll have a good time doing it. That's the thing I'd focus on.
Thanks. Sounds like good advice.
Cool. And listen, as we finish up, I always like to ask my guests, how can the folk out there or the listeners out there get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, so they multiple ways. LinkedIn is our primary channel, so you can all reach me on LinkedIn and add me or my colleagues at LinkedIn. And then we also have our website, www.robotic.com. And if you're interested in the product, we also have YouTube videos and newsletters and so on that you can sign up to. But we're happy to meet you and tell more.
Brilliant. And I'm Richard Doherty, and I believe distributed teams help you scale. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.